I am in love with the concept of kintsugi or kintsukuroi. It is the Japanese art of mending broken pottery, areas of broken pottery, with a lacquer that is dusted with gold. Sometimes they use silver or platinum, but I think the whole thing is just beautiful. This practice can seem so counterintuitive, because to many of us, when we see something broken, our immediate response is to try and hide it, or to throw it away and get something new, to make it look like there was never anything broken. Instead of hiding the flaw, kintsugi highlights the flaws. The cracks don't go away, but they become beautiful. It takes some soul work to find the kind of wholeness that comes from seeing those cracks as beautiful. And in the meantime, while we seek that balance, or where we are trying to find peace for our flaws and experiencing brokenness, in the meantime, all of that can be painful. Take the bleeding woman, for instance, the woman that Bad Girls of the Bible writer Liz Curtis Higgs calls the woman at the unwell. You think it's hard lately to be socially distancing from people we love? Try spending the last 12 years of your life being socially distant from everyone. 12 years. This woman has been bleeding for 12 years, as long as the little girl in our story has been alive. And back then, when you were going through anything that included blood, you were unclean, unfit for society, and anyone who touched you or touched anything that you touched became unclean. They didn't have hand sanitizer back then. And you became unclean and thus unwelcome. 12 years of that label, unclean and unwelcome. And she has dealt with more doctors than she cares to count, and these doctors have not made things better. If anything, all they've really done is made her broke. She has spent all she had. And then one day, she hears about Jesus. And I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that conversation. I imagine maybe a family friend who grew up with this woman told her to finally forget about these doctors. Let me tell you about this guy that I've heard about. A guy who has healed people for free. He was there when some friends, maybe a few weeks ago, you remember this story, when some friends lowered a paralytic down through the roof. This was a guy who has cleaned up demons from people. "Haven't you suffered enough?" they may have asked her. "Maybe give this carpenter's son a try. What have you got to lose?" Maybe she went home that night and thought about it, brooded even. Maybe she went to bed praying the words from Psalm 131, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not lifted too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul." And she sleeps, maybe. And then when she awakes, she's made this final decision: find Jesus. And that's not too hard. If you want to find Jesus back then, just follow the crowd. And she arrives on the scene, this nervous flutter in her heart. She's dressed maybe in her best dress, and this crowd appears, a crowd. Remember, she's not been near a crowd for over 12 years, 12 years of being unclean. And then there he is, Jesus of Nazareth. And he doesn't waste any time before he starts preaching. Jesus is preaching and teaching. And this woman must have just been standing there, waiting for Jesus to take a breath, finding that perfect moment to approach him about the healing. And it's right there. He finally takes that breath. She takes a step closer to him. And then a man falls at Jesus' feet. Maybe she recognized Jairus. He worked at the synagogue, probably would have been well known. Maybe she didn't recognize him because unclean people, let alone unclean women, couldn't go into the synagogue to worship. And Jairus falls at Jesus' feet and begs Jesus to come and help his daughter, his only daughter, who is dying. Synagogue leaders are a big deal. And come on, his daughter is dying. Not only does he have a lot more clout and position than this woman, he arguably has a much bigger problem. But you can almost feel the defeat. You can almost sense her deflation. She's dealt with this problem for 12 years. Well, fine. What's another day? Another month? Another year? So Jesus starts to go with Jairus. But that's not the end of the story. I imagine that this sense of urgency rose up inside of this woman, and she made that decision. No, it has to be today. Do something today. Do something desperate. It's now or never, baby. She fights her way through the crowd, not being as socially distant as she has been for the last 12 years, and she reaches out and touches the hem of his shirt. That's all it takes. And in her heart of hearts, she reaches for Jesus, brushes her fingers against the fabric, and her heart screams inside of her, "I believe." Time must have stood still. I wonder if there was a tingle, a warmth, a sudden feeling of cleanness that she did not think possible until that moment. Luke says that immediately her bleeding stopped and she could feel her body healed. She stands alone in the crowd, moves along, and this crowd is starting to leave, and 1,000 thoughts must have gone through her head. It worked. She can tell people that she was healed. She can have a hug again. For those of us who have been socially distant for what seems like forever, remember what a hug felt like? All the huggers in our midst, Sandy's been going crazy. The huggers are just waiting to be able to hug people again. You get what this woman felt like before this moment. This woman, for 12 years, has been unwelcome, untouchable. Her quarantine vanishes with the bleeding problem. But that's not the end of the story. She is healed, and then she hears something. Not the sound of the crowd leaving. She doesn't hear the sound of the cleanup crew coming in to clean up the beach now that Jesus and his crowd have left. Instead, she hears a voice, clear as day, a single question: "Who has touched me?" Now let's remember a few things. First, remember, this is a woman who was considered unclean and now she's touched Jesus. This has some pretty big social implications. Now technically Jesus is also unclean. Second, remember that Jesus is kind of in a hurry. The timing for an interruption is not good. Remember Jairus? This guy's daughter is dying. And remember the crowd. A crowd. I have been in big crowds, and sometimes you get touched. You get bumped. It is not a good place for introverts. Even the disciples hear Jesus' question, "Who touched me?" And Peter steps up and says, "Jesus, are you nuts? Who didn't touch you?" But here's the thing about Jesus. Just like Jesus wants us to ask our questions and nurture good soil within our souls, Jesus wants us to engage with him when it comes to our personal issues. He doesn't want us to just tap into him when we need it, treat him like a genie when it's convenient, or turn him on and off like a light switch. Jesus isn't like the self-checkout register at the grocery store where you can just scan your things and get out without having said hello or hi to anyone. Jesus doesn't let us off the hook that easy. He doesn't give this woman permission to touch her, to touch him. But he doesn't let her go that easily. He asks the question, "Who touched me?" And are you surprised that she's afraid? I'm not. I've been caught doing something wrong. Your whole spine tingles. Somebody asks, "Who put a dent in Dad's car? Who left the bread on the counter open all day?" It's kind of impressive that this woman comes forward and admits it. She falls down at Jesus' feet, tells him the whole thing, the whole truth, just the truth and nothing but the truth. And Jesus doesn't scold her. He doesn't look apologetically at Jairus either. He doesn't turn to Jairus and say, "Hey, just one second, let me deal with this girl first." He gives this woman his full attention. And he tells her that his clothes had nothing to do with it. "Go, my daughter, in peace. Your faith has made you well." Go in peace. Literally, go in shalom. Go in wholeness. Go and be whole. That's why this woman catches my attention more than Jairus' daughter. It's not the end of the story. It still doesn't quite end. The little girl is a big deal too, even dies while Jesus is focusing on this woman. But death is not enough to stop Jesus. Doesn't stop Jesus from still giving his full attention to the little girl. And she comes back to life, so Jairus has this happy ending too. But I'm more drawn to this woman, this bleeding woman who used to be bleeding, because of this truth that Jesus never sees people as interruptions, ever. And Jesus has this uncanny ability to take all of those broken spaces, all of those flaws that we might call ugly, and Jesus calls them beautiful and makes them beautiful. It's a good reminder that there may be some people out there who you know or who you think have bigger problems than you. Certainly the woman must have thought at one moment that Jairus obviously had a bigger problem than she did. But Jesus doesn't see it that way. Nobody is an interruption to Jesus. Jesus still takes the time to see her and ask, "Who touched me?" And for the record, I think Jesus knew who touched him before he asked. I'm pretty sure he had her name and face in his sight even before she touched him. Maybe he called her out for her own benefit so that she would know that he saw her, that he knew her, and that she didn't have to live in fear of waking up one day not healed. Maybe he called her out for the sake of the crowd so that they would see that Jesus does not see people as interruptions. Jesus came for the broken. And here with this woman, Jesus reminds us that no problem is too big or too small for our Lord. Jesus cares about all of it, and we have his attention, and Jesus is here for all of it. The Bible doesn't tell us what happens to this woman. I like to think she went off and told her story, that her story becomes the gold poured into the cracks of her broken past, and her wholeness is beautiful. Jesus doesn't erase those 12 years. Those 12 years happen. She doesn't get those 12 years back. Our pasts happen. Our hurts are real. Healing doesn't erase what happens to us. But our stories can turn into gold when Jesus comes in and brings that wholeness into our hearts. There is peace and there is wholeness. Jesus sees you and hears you. As one of my favorite hymns reminds us, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. May you find peace and wholeness wherever you are, and whenever you are, and whoever you are, because Jesus knows you, and Jesus sees you, and hears you, and is always with you. Amen.